I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to the podcast of Susie Larson Live. It's only just a matter of. Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. I got a question for you. Do you find yourself longing for eternity, for your trials to finally be over, for God to fulfill His promise to wipe every tear from your eyes? I kind of think we all do, right? And yet here we are in these tumultuous times with very real stresses and a strong God who's promised to see us safely home. So how do we live in the tension of the now and the not yet? My friend Lisa Whittle joins me today to talk about her new book, God Knows, When Your Worries and Whys Need More Than Temporary Relief. We're going to talk about that, relief versus redemption, wanting a break versus getting a breakthrough. And I think sometimes, as C.S. Lewis says, our desires are too small. They're too low. God has more for us, and there is a way to navigate. And it does matter that God knows. That does make a difference in your perspective. And Lisa will explain that as to how. Quick note, this month on Faith Radio, is forgiveness is our theme. Throughout the month, we're going to be weaving that into our conversations. And you know, sometimes you feel like you can't hear God's voice. One of the things that blocks is holding a grudge, harboring unforgiveness in your heart, where God is speaking, but we can't hear Him. So I encourage you to spend some time with the Lord. Ask Him to search your heart, to show you if there's anybody, that you, anything against anybody, and do some work with the Lord. He will take care of it. It's not that you're giving it up as if it doesn't matter. You're surrendering it to Him because your heart matters, your story matters. In fact, June 28th will be our Day of Forgiveness, and we'll focus our live programming on this important topic. So would you just be prayerful and humble as we go before the Lord? And we seek Him with all our hearts. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Lisa Whittle is the author of 8 books and a sought-after Bible teacher, a pastor's daughter, longtime ministry leader in issues relevant to the church. She's the founder of Ministry Strong and the popular Jesus Over Everything podcast. Her love runs deep to see people pursue Jesus for life, grow deep roots of faith, and walk strong in the midst of a world that so often seems to have gone crazy. Lisa's done master's work in marriage and family counseling. She's a co-founder of Called Creatives and has been featured on numerous media outlets throughout the years. She and her family live in North Carolina, and I love her. Lisa, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thanks, Susie. What a joy to be with you again.
Looking forward to our conversation. And before we dig into your great book, first of all, I need to let friends know, Lisa's book is titled God Knows, When Your Worries and Whys Need More Than Temporary Relief. We got a handful of copies to give away. If you feel like your worries and your whys are winning the day, text the word book to 877-933-2484. So Lisa, before we dig into the content of this great book, I just always love to make it personal every day. And I'm wondering, what's the Lord been impressing upon your heart these days? What's He speaking to you about just in your prayer time with Him?
You know, I think one of the things that I've been loving the most recently is this personal thought that I don't so much need to know where God is because He knows exactly where I am. Because sometimes in my life, Susie, I think I've been thinking, where is God in this moment of my life? And one of the passages of scripture, even as I was studying and writing the book, God Knows, that I began to study more intently was Job 23. And there's a part in that passage, verses 8 through 10, where Job says this: I go east, but He's not there. I go west, but I cannot find Him. I do not see Him in the north, for He's hidden. I look to the south, but He's concealed, but He knows where I'm going. And I won't get into all of it because I could be real nerdy about it because I just have loved it and pulled it apart so much. But what really meant something to me about that was how in one breath, he seems like a desperate man where he's saying, I don't know where God is. But yet in the next breath, he says, but He knows where I'm going. And that to me felt confident. And so I thought, how could someone feel desperate and confident? And yet that is sort of the rub of our life where we're looking for God. And yet there is this inner fortitude of, but God knows where I am. And so that's where I'm living right now.
Wow. When you think about God knows, sometimes people think, well, if he knows, why doesn't he do something? You know, mm-hmm. if he could intervene, why won't he? Talk about just because you're not giving a fluffy, well, God knows, you're not giving that in the book. You're going deeper, going, there is a reason that God knowing where we are, God knowing about our limitations, our deepest secrets, why that actually, that truth can sustain us. So make the case if you would.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a person that likes sound bites. So for me, you know, the phrase, God knows, that's something that rolls off our tongue a lot. I think a lot of us say it and we say it a lot and we don't even realize it sometimes. And so I was in a place in my life, Susie, where I was having night terrors. And so for me, when I began, I didn't set out to write a book called God Knows. What I set out to do was find comfort and relief from my night terrors. And so as I began to pray, God, help me in the night so that I'm not so afraid for my children, for my life, the world feels so overwhelming. And I'm worried and I'm concerned and I feel burdened and all of those things. And the Lord began to direct me to who He was. And really through this whole, you know, study me, study my word, study who I am. And that led me into the study of His omniscience, of God knowing all and what that actually means. And so titling a book God Knows is simply saying, hey, there's something at play here, and it is more than your knowledge. Because the reason why we struggle so much with, well, if God knows, why doesn't He do, is because we simply don't know. We don't know what God does. And so our struggle, Susie, is in our lack of knowledge. And the case that I'm making is, for us to trust in a knowledge that we don't know about, that we don't fully understand. That's the hard part, because that requires faith, that requires trust and all of those things. But throughout the book, the process was, I want to give you some reasons why trusting in what God knows is really the way to live your life.
Wow. Amen. If you don't mind, I'd like to revisit the idea, the part of your story around the night terrors. What were the enemy's threats against you? What fear tactics was he using? And the reason I ask, Lisa, is we've got a very actively engaged listening audience. They text in, and fear has been winning the day for many, and they're sincere followers, and they hate it that they're just, that fear is really a big deal. So I want to just, so people know that they're not alone. I mean, you're a leader in the middle of oftentimes working on projects. The enemy hit you with these. So what was the tactic? Yes. What was he threatening you with?
Oh, I mean, all manner of everything. And I think it's very, very familiar things to a lot of your audience. It would be, your kids are not going to be okay. Mm-hmm. It was also guilt, the guilt feelings of, you are a leader. You are someone who knows the word of God. You are someone who teaches the word of God. You should be better than this. You shouldn't be afraid. You know the truth. It was, you know, you are right to feel afraid, and God is not going to be with you. This is going to go too far in this world, and there will be a moment that you will be taken under. It was all of those things that honestly, especially Susie, in the middle of the night, feel quite real. And I mean, if you look around the world, they are real. It's
legitimate.
It's not like we don't live in a world that isn't quite unstable, right? If you just look at the world. And, you know, I think one of the things is, you know, especially as people that consider ourselves strong or capable, and, you know, maybe we're leading or maybe we, you know, just do really well to help control our family calendar. And so we're always taking care of kids or whatever we do in our lives. Listen, I can consider myself a really strong, stable woman, but none of those things are going to be enough in the middle of the night, or when we watch the news, or when we watch, you know, depravity happening in the world. And so it's not meant to be that way, where it all depends upon us. And so there is just this comfort and relief that doesn't come to us when we have to solve it. And that's why, for me, looking to God and being able to say, does God know everything? Is he going to one day make it right? Will he make things right that I'll never be able to make right on the face of this earth? And being able to dig into that and ask the hard questions and come out with yes, a solid yes. Boy, it's made all the difference in my life.
So good. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to talk about just God's strategy. It is, as you know, he did for you, he does so for many of us. In fact, I just tweeted this, and I've been saying it for years, you know, that we want a break, but God wants to give us a breakthrough. Sometimes we shortchange ourselves. We long for something far less than what God wants for us. So before you rush to a quick solution, slow down, wait on God, and follow his lead. So we want relief, and we're crying out for relief, and which is natural because you're suffering, you want relief. But you're crying out to God in these night terrors. Instead of him just lifting those up, he says, study the book of Nahum. And I think that's just so like him, isn't it? Just to give us, I'm not going to give you shortchange relief. I want you changed through this. So dig deep into my word because I'm going to give you strategy. So on the other side, I want you to talk about what you found when you looked in that book. Talking to Lisa Whittle, author, speaker. Her new book is titled God Knows When Your Worries and Whys Need More Than Temporary Relief. Again, we're so often after temporary relief, we think that we'll be fine if we get that. But we're not. We need something more stable and sustainable. And what is it? It's the idea that God knows it all. He sees all. He sits as king over the flood, and he sits as king even now. More with Lisa Whittle in a minute. Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live, talking to my friend Lisa Whittle. She's an author and a speaker. Her new book is titled God Knows When Your Worries and Whys Need More Than Temporary Relief. And she makes a case for how and why that God knowing makes all the difference in the world. And you've got to see it from a much deeper perspective than, oh, God knows, right? And that's what she's inviting us in, is to a deeper dive that way. You can text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. And before the break, Lisa, you were talking about, and this is so typical, same for me as well, when you're working on a project, the enemy comes in and blindsides you, and you were dealing with some night terrors. And with it's just so like the enemy, too, not only to bring the fear, the terror, then to, you know, he accuses, what is it? He seduces and accuses, right? He baits us and then condemns us for being baited. And yet in the middle of that, as you're asking God, help me, Lord, he said, study the book of Nahum. That was his strategy for you. So tell me what happened.
Yeah, it was really, it was an experience like I've never had before, truthfully. I was sitting in the middle of church and had been dealing with these night terrors, and the Lord really spoke to my heart and said, I want you to study the book of Nahum. Now, the pastor was not preaching on Nahum. There was nothing that I was looking at in the Bible at the time on Nahum. What an obscure book of the Bible. You know, I've been a pastor's daughter my whole life, and I've been to Bible school and all the things, but I cannot recall having studied the book of Nahum before in my entire life. And so I went home and I opened up that book. It's three chapters long, and I began to read it, and I read it through quickly, and I thought, there's nothing in here that is the least bit appealing to me. The language in it is very pointed. It's not at all comforting. You know, I'm at the place in my life where I'm like, could you lead me to one of the Psalms? You know, I need something a little bit more. But I knew that if the Lord had directed me there was something for me. And so I ordered commentaries on it. And one of the first things that I found in my research was that the name Nahum literally means comfort and relief. And I thought, well, isn't this interesting? The Lord definitely has something for me here. And I dug a little bit deeper. And what I realized was this three-chapter book of prophetic poetry written by Nahum to the people of Assyria, capital city of Nineveh at the time, who were oppressing the Judean people, was to tell them of course, what was to come as they were oppressing God's people. But it was also, as you looked at what was really going on, sort of the sub-story that was happening, it was a love letter of sorts to the people of Judah, to say, for God to say, I see what is happening. It has not escaped my attention. I know what's going on. And there's a verse, Nahum 1:7, that's often quoted that says, the Lord is good. He is a refuge for those who seek him, and he knows those who put their trust in him. And when I read that, I realized that, you know, the Lord was using this book that seemed to make no sense on the surface. But it was, he was using it to show me that there is always more than what is going on in the surface that we can see, and that he is fully in control of things that seem out of control, and that he is present, he is close, he is near, and he's working. And that, you know, that word for me was so, so dear. And honestly, it led me into a 5-year exploration of the omniscience of God. It is what started me on that journey, because I wanted to know more and more and more about how God knows, and discovered so much. And it's what led me into writing the book. But first, it led me into a place of deep comfort to know that you can't judge things on the surface, because we don't know the mind of God. We don't know the inner workings of God, because as we know from the word, his ways are so much ways than our ways. His mind and his knowledge is not of a human mind and knowledge. And so that's just so important for us to know as we look around of what's happening in the world and in our world, in our lives.
Well, if we have a wrong picture of who God is, the fact that he knows won't bring us comfort. If we don't think he's just and righteous and kind and meticulous and miraculous, you know what I'm saying? If we don't take time to get to know the character of God, I don't know that the presence of God will mean all that much to us, because yes, we will feel like he's an inconsistent father that we can't rely on. But that's why I think it's just so important to understand who it is we're trusting, who yes, it is that really is in control. Maybe say a word about that, and even how you've come to understand the character of God amidst everything you've walked through.
Yes, I think that's actually changed everything for me, Susie, because the reality is that we live in a world that makes God who culture believes that God is, you know. Mm-hmm. I think even to a degree, even in our faith communities, we have, you know, created a picture of God on our terms. You know, so the convenient God, the, you know, the God who often in many ways begins to look much like us, you know, and we make God the Father look like our earthly fathers who have disappointed us, and all of those things that are at play. And that's why the Word of God is so important to ground us and remind us who God actually is. And so when we begin to dive into the character of God, we begin to become comforted and relieved and grounded and secure in him. It is why it is so important to look to the word. It is why it changes us in a very profound way. And so spending our time in that space rather than in a lot of self-help, a lot of looking at ways to sort of make us better and find more courage and all those things. And not that those things are not a good use of our time. I mean, I'm a proponent in counseling. I believe that we ought to work on our earthly relationships. Absolutely. I mean, those things are very important as we continue to live in this very temporary space that we occupy. I believe the Lord wants us to do really well here. But those things are a way that we actually, you know, help ourselves as we look to the greatest space that we're going to be, which is heaven. And we look to the person who can actually help us as we attempt to do those things and work on our earthly relationships and ourselves, our relationship even with ourselves. But God is our help and hope. And so that's where I believe we find our groundedness, and we find our peace and our security. You know, I say that a lot. We need more help than self-help. And so, you know, the way that I find my footing and I find my relief and I find my comfort is in not exploring more about Lisa, but it is in finding out more about this God who is stable and secure and knows all, because he's the one who holds all the answers, not me.
So true. It is amazing. You see it in scripture over and over again, you know, in the Psalms, especially when someone is spiraling downward, it's because they become overly inwardly focused. And then,
yes.
But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. I mean, that's Lamentations, but in Psalms you see it as well. But then I remember your works. Then I remember your miracles. And boy, nothing will lift you out of the ditch quicker than to remember his character and immerse yourself in it. And I think that's so linked deeply with the profound understanding that he is good, he is God, and he knows. It helps us understand he's not missing anything, you know?
Right. Yes. And that's really the key, because, you know, we're going to run out of human understanding. We're going to run out of answers. At a certain point, if you've been a parent, you realize at a certain point, Susie, you and I have both been through this. You realize at a certain point, I don't know what to do. I'm at the end of myself. And so I, you know, in my own life, there has never been anything more comforting than knowing at some point when I am out of answers, God will continue to know what to do with my children. God will continue to know what to do in this crazy world. And I don't know, for me, that has brought me such great relief and hope.
Boy, so good. We just got a couple minutes before our break at the bottom of the hour, but I want to just start on this list, because in the book you offer 5 reasons we don't feel more secure, comforted, or relieved. So the first one is that we're doubters. We can't see God working, so we have a hard time believing that he's in control, which again helps us. You help us see that we so live by what our eyes see. But you got about 2 minutes. Say more about the idea that we're doubters.
Well, we are a doubting people, you know, and that's a part of our humanity. I think what's really important is that what we're willing to acknowledge here. A lot of us go through our life and we say, oh, you know, I don't doubt God. I believe God. He is always there. And we have a lot of Christian sound bites. I think it's very important in our life that we say, I am a doubter. There are moments in my life that I doubt God, and I need God to help me with this. I do believe, you know, when you're talking about remembrance, that is such a theme of the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that even as we go back, you look at the book of Deuteronomy, you look at all of these places where it talks about remembering God in our own life, as we have that practice for ourselves, remembering who he is, remembering what he's done, remembering where he's been faithful, even looking at our own life, we're still here today, breathing, listening right now. That helps us in our places of doubt. And so as we look and remember who God is, it helps us in those moments. And we give that doubt over to God and we say, help me. But we can also help ourselves as we dive into the Word, as we practice that. Even sometimes we put aside the social media, we open the Word and we say, God, show me who we are. Show me who you are, so that I can know that you do know in these moments in this world in which I live. And it will help me as I doubt and as I fear and as I walk through this world.
So good. So good. Talking to Lisa Whittle, that's one of 5 reasons we tend to have a hard time feeling secure. Again, we often want relief. We want an immediate solution to our immediate problem. But then there's the next problem. So how can we find a more sustaining peace and security and stability in these uncertain times? Well, it helps us to know that God knows. He doesn't miss a thing. And that's the title of Lisa Whittle's book. We've got a handful of copies to give away. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing. 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live, talking to my friend Lisa Whittle, who's written a great new book, God Knows. When your worries and whys need more than temporary relief, and would you say that's true for all of us? We've got a handful of copies to give away today. If you want to dig deeper in the character of God so that you understand why it matters that God knows and why that is a sustaining truth for you, hey, you can text the word book to 877-933-2484. And in the book, Lisa outlines 5 reasons that we often don't feel more secure secure, comforted, or relieved, even though we have the God of the universe, the one who sits on the throne, who loves us and knows all things and ultimately will work all things together. All of that should bring us great comfort, yet we're comfortless at times. Well, the one of them that we talked about before the break is that we're doubters. And one thing I just wanted to say about that before we move on to the next point is you can have a lot of faith in one area of your life and some doubt in another area. Or maybe you've exercised your faith, you've seen God be faithful, and it's just trust comes easier in this area. But over here, maybe there's been crickets or more hardship than breakthrough. That's okay. Is there anything you want to say about that, Lisa? Because I just think that's true for most people. And I think it's an opportunity just to trust him in those places.
Oh, I love, Susie, that you brought that up, because I do think we sometimes expect perfection in our faith. And we think, I need to have faith across the board. You know, I need to have a perfect faith, and I need to, you know, never have a doubt. If I'm doing great in this area, I need to do great in all areas. And the reality is that we are humans, and sometimes we get weak in an area. We struggle in an area. Maybe we're having trouble with one of our kids. And so all of a sudden, boy, that area is just difficult for us to give to God. And God knows that, you know, and also, you know, Satan sees places in our life that are weak and comes for us in those places and attacks us in those areas too. And we know that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And so we have to claim those areas, and we have to work on those areas. And we also have to give those areas to God, because God does know our weak spots. And so I'm so grateful for that. And absolutely, there have been times in my life where, I was Teflon in my faith in a certain area. There couldn't have been anything to budge me in a certain area. But there are other areas that, boy, I really struggled with, you know. And so we can begin to feel like we don't love God at all. And that's not the reality. You can love God very much, but you can also struggle with, some type of place that is difficult for you. And so just know that none of us are in our perfect bodies yet. None of us have perfection yet, because we're not in heaven. And so God's tender to that.
Indeed. And maybe it's a place that you need healing, and you're met with, compassion by your Father. And that's why it's important to know the character of God. Okay, the second one. So the first is we're doubters. Another reason we have a hard time feeling more secure and comforted or relieved is we're impatient. We want things fixed, solved, and vindicated on our timetable. Mm-hmm. Ouch, but it's true. So true. Oh, go ahead. Yeah. Say more.
Well, that's a real tender one for me in particular, because I'm a person who likes justice, and I want justice right now. There's a whole chapter on this for a reason, because I want things to be set straight, and I want them set straight right now on my terms. And again, that's where my human mind comes into play, Susie, because I think the way that I would vindicate things, the way that I would solve things, the way that I would set things right are the correct way to do it. The problem is, I don't know in my flesh what is correct all the time. We can be the wisest person in the world. Maybe we've lived a little while. You know, you get age on you and you kind of know better how to maneuver things in life. And yet we still don't know the perfect way to do things. I can still put my foot in my mouth. I can still make a huge mistake. There have been so many things I've had to mop up because I have thought Lisa's way was the best way to make things right, because we can get impatient. We can want to have the conversation with someone too early. You know, I open up the chapter on that in the book. I open up that talking about how when I was younger, I wanted to set someone straight who had started a rumor about my family when I was growing up. And I went and confronted them at work. And in that moment, I thought, boy, this is going to really make it right for me. And I'm going to feel a lot better. I talked about how I was going to feel, because that's the reality of it. We think we'll feel better if we get, you know, this vindication on our terms. And the reality is in that moment, that rush of adrenaline, I had that rush of adrenaline because I confronted this girl. Now, of course, I was a teenager. So in our teenage brains, we think a lot of things seem really good when they're a terrible idea. And, it didn't take very, very long, because I have the Spirit of God living inside of me to face conviction, but also not feel real good about what I had done because I knew that wasn't the right thing to do. And I think a lot of us can relate to this. We, you know, get mad about a comment on social media and we just lash back out and our fingers just start typing before we even think too much about it. And relationships can break up and, oh, we can regret it and lament it and just all think, oh, what have I done? God knows that place that you need and want vindicated. He does. And, you know, it talks in the Word of God about how God will set things straight in this lifetime or the next. And I believe that if God is who we believe and say that we believe he is, a God who is thorough, a God who doesn't show favoritism, a God who is perfect in nature, then we have to trust that the way he will set things straight will be perfect and right on time.
Come on, somebody. Amen. Somebody got to text me an amen for that one. All right, we're doubters. We are impatient. See, that might have been hard for you to hear at first because we're impatient, but to see where Lisa brought it should bring you great comfort. God is our vindicator. He misses nothing. All right, the third one. We are controlling. We want things done our way all the time. And again, we think our perspective and our process is supreme, and it just is not. I often say we don't know what we don't know. We don't see what we can't see, right?
Right. Well, and you know, one of the things that I realized through the pandemic was that I'm a person who likes to predict things. You know, I wouldn't have thought that before, but I realized that I'm a person that likes, I would have called it maybe preempting. I don't think I would have called it predicting. I would have called it preempting. I like to preempt things, right? So I like to just kind of control things in my environment before they happen. I like to not be too disappointed. So let me just kind of think of all the disastrous things that might happen and let me try to prevent those things so I don't have stress in my house. So I don't, you know, become, you know, too overwhelmed when things don't go my way. But the Lord really spoke to me, Susie, during that time. And he said, Lisa, prediction is just another form of control. You want to predict what things are going to happen, what, you know, what might come up, what might not, because you want to self-protect your heart from breaking into a million pieces or, you know, someone becoming hurt or whatever the case may be. And that's just your way of controlling. Still. And the Lord really spoke to me about that. And I write about that in the book as well. And I think a lot of us realized through that circumstance in 2020 and of course other circumstances in our life far before that and since that we don't know what's going to happen in the world. We don't know what's going to happen in our world. And as much as we might be the most organized person on the face of this world, we might try to control everything for our kids. No, we don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, so you might be a pragmatist. If you're a pragmatist, this book is perfect for you because at a certain point, your pragmatism won't work. And you have to believe and know and trust in more than yourself that God knows and that there's someone more that you can put your faith in.
God, that's so good. So we're doubters. We're impatient. We're controlling. Here's another one, friends. And it's going to feel a little ouchy, but it's going to come to a great conclusion. We're selfish. We want a perfect life, no problems, and things to be skewed in our favor. Who, if they're honest, won't say that that's true? So say more.
Well, you know, I've come to the really hard conclusion that should have been a conclusion that I come to a lot earlier, which is that I am a selfish human being. You know, there's something freeing though, Susie, in being able to say, you know, I am selfish, because that's where God can create breakthrough in our life. I think it's important to be able to say, you know, I love Jesus, but I also love me. And this has been the rub of my life for all of the years of my life. And the only time that I've caused myself the biggest problems, or really the only time the biggest problems have happened in my life, is when I have really been so focused on me. And the interesting thing is a lot of people would say, well, I don't focus on me enough. You know, I don't care for myself enough. I feel like I put everyone else before me. But if we'll get to the root of it, a lot of times the reason why we have such trouble with even chronic people pleasing, it still comes back to self. Because at the end of the day, we want people to like us. We yeah. want people to love us. And so a lot of the things that have caused us such deep problems in our life, where we can't go through life and, you know, honor the person that God made us to be and be free from all of the self-condemnation and the worry about what others think, and where we can't be free to use our gifts and all of the things that we want to find freedom in, it all comes back to this just bondage of self. And so I think it's actually really freeing to be able to say, you know, I'm selfish, and God, work on me with that. And it's become one of the most important things to be able to say in my entire life.
Beautiful. Wow. Finally, we want to be God ourselves. This is a hard one to swallow. So we generally overlook it. In some ways, it's a combination of all of the above, but it does go deeper.
Yeah.
And I'd love for you to say more, because you said God's doing the job we're attempting to do. His breath has given us life. His life itself is what makes it possible for us to keep living. His spirit breathing life into our souls in the beginning and the ongoing. And we thwart that when we want to be God ourselves. So explain what that looks like, and like how you might know you're trying to be God yourself.
Well, you know, this seems like it would be such a difficult admission, or even, you know, it's such a big thing to say, but it's actually kind of simple. You know, we want God to perform when we want him to perform, right? We want him to do what we want him to do, when we want him to do it, on our timetable, preferably by Tuesday at 10 a.m., right? You know, what that is really saying, hey, God, here is the job that you need to do, and I have the best idea of how it should be done. The way that you kind of know if this is what you're doing is when you get really frustrated, upset, maybe even angry with God when things don't go your way. It is a sign that, you know, you're wanting to be God yourself because you think that you know better. We all, Susie, at some point act this way. We all do.
Yep. Yep.
Because we are a fleshly human being. And, you know, I don't want to say it's okay in the sense that it's okay, we're off the hook. I just want to say to you, find freedom in that admission, because it is our plight as wearing flesh. But let's do something about it and admit it and say, okay, God, this is how I can go. This is where I can go off the rails, and help realign me to realize I can't do your job. I would woefully fail. I do woefully fail. And realign me and remind me that you are the God of the universe who knows all, who is doing the job that I could never do. You know, there are so many things that God is handling on a daily basis for you in this world that were we to know, our minds couldn't contain it. We would quake at the scale of it. I can't even, in my very feeble attempt to even describe it, I'm not even coming close, because these are human words for a God that we can't even understand, friend. Yeah. This is a God that is so big and vast, and yet so loving that he is caring enough for us to make himself known in some ways, in ways that we can understand through the word, through the way he expresses himself, through the beauty of creation and all of those things. I mean, this is such a good God. I can't even put words to it.
I can't either.
But I'm grateful. Yeah, I'm grateful for the love that he allows us to see a glimpse of. Yeah, every day.
And you think about how often we're impatient, unkind, selfish, doubters. We want to be God. We think we know. We make presumptions and assessments against other Christians, all of the stuff. People who have the Spirit of God living in us, we do those things. And Jesus doesn't consume us. Why does he? Well, how is that possible? Lamentations 3. It's because of the Lord's great love we're not consumed. Mm-hmm. I mean, that very thought should bring us to our knees. That's why I wanted to go through these 5. It's not to condemn. It's for you to understand, as we go to break here, that these are all baits of the enemy. He wants us in doubt. He wants us impatient. He wants us controlling. He wants us to be selfish, and he wants us to try to be God ourselves. That's what he wants. But on the flip side, I would say, Lisa, all of these are solved in the vine, in the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, self-control. All those things are solved as you abide in Christ and you let his life flow through you. This is why it's important to know God, to know the heart of Jesus and what he invites us to. And I think just walking through these, my producer, just as she's listening to you, she just said, I'm so thankful for Jesus. Aren't you? This makes me so thankful for Jesus. Lisa Whittle's my guest today. Her book, God Knows, When Your Worries and Whys Need More Than Temporary Relief. Lisa writes like she speaks, so you'll love this book if you're loving today's show, and I know you are. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. When we come back, we're going to talk about the importance of dreaming. How does that tie into knowing God? And you tell the story about the day your dad stopped dreaming. If you don't mind, I'd love for you to share that as well. More with Lisa Whittle on the other side.
The Bible is valuable, and reading and studying the Bible can transform your life. Hi, I'm Angela Smith, host of Reading the Bible Together podcast. Several times a year, we release a new Reading the Bible Together study. We've studied Luke, Daniel, Advent, Lent, and so many more. You can access all of our studies for free by going to the Reading the Bible Together resource page at myfaithradio.com. In addition to the studies, we also have the accompanying podcast. You can listen wherever you listen to podcasts. You can study on your own, or if your small group or Bible study is looking for what to study next, check out the Reading the Bible Together resource page at myfaithradio.com.
Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live, having a fantastic conversation with my friend Lisa Whittle, who's written another great book. This one's titled God Knows, When Your Worries and Whys Need More Than Temporary Relief. Just getting to know the heart of God, the character of God, the consistency of God helps you to filter your life through the lens of God, which is so important. We've got a handful of copies to give away today. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. And Lisa, in your chapter titled God Knows Your Dreams, you share about the day your dad stopped dreaming that made me want to cry. I know a little bit of your backstory with your dad, but I don't recall it. So would you mind sharing as much as you're able?
Yeah. My dad had been through a season of his life where he, as a pastor, had been through a lot of trials, a lot of brokenness, a lot that he had sort of brought on himself from a series of bad decisions, and then also just some pain from some broken relationships and things like that. And he was living out on some land in a place of sabbatical and real isolated. And I remember very vividly after he lost his church, he lost his home, lost a lot of friends and really sort of the life that he knew. I remember seeing him. He was a man who used to have a lot of dreams. And I remember just looking into his eyes and seeing sort of a look that I hadn't seen before. It was a place where the dreams had sort of left his eyes. And that might sound kind of interesting to describe it that way, but he had this sort of gleam always of dreaming. And when you're a visionary, a person that's a visionary, you always have a lot of dreams that show up in your eyes. And he didn't have that anymore. And he was just kind of speaking in facts and just talking in a way that I hadn't seen before. And I could see it in his eyes. And I just knew that there was a place in his life where he didn't have a lot of hope. He didn't have a lot of dreams anymore for his life because his life had so drastically changed and he had had a lot of disappointment. He'd had a lot of disillusionment. And so he felt like, what is the point in dreaming anymore? What is the point of having anything to look forward to anymore? And, you know, what's so interesting about that, Suzy, is I've watched a lot of people, you know, you and I both travel and speak a good bit and see a lot of different folks and look into their eyes. And, you know, I've watched a lot of people, especially in recent years, believers in Jesus Christ, I've looked into a lot of their eyes and I've seen a lot of them have a look that looked very much like that, sort of blank, not a lot of hope, a lot of discouragement. And, you know, I think that what we don't realize is that dreaming for our life, having hope, which, you know, a lot of that is very close. is so important, because while we know that our greatest life is yet to come, the life that we live in heaven, while we are here, there is great purpose, and the Lord has us here for a reason, or we wouldn't still be here. And so obviously we know our life mission is, you know, Matthew 28:19, which is to bring people to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and make disciples. But, you know, to have dreams for our life, which are grounded in kingdom purpose, is so crucial. And so I would just encourage someone who has stopped dreaming because they feel like, you know, that's really incompatible with just sort of making it through the day. And they've been discouraged. Maybe something hasn't worked out, or they feel like it's silly to dream. No, God has something for you while you're still here. And so, whether something's been disappointing in your life, or you feel like you're just trying to make it, know that God has something more for you.
Beautiful. You know, I just want to take a moment to honor you, Lisa, because when you have your own father fall publicly and trip up where people were gossiping about him, how traumatic as a daughter that must have been, and the kind of grit and grace it took for you to rise up to your calling with what the enemy probably tried to do against your family. I can't even imagine the internal battle. And I just, it's no small thing that you did it anyway. You rose up anyway, and you're continuing to follow God's call anyway. And I just want to honor the kind of courage that takes. And first, I just want to say that God bless you for that.
Thank you. Thank you. Mm. You know, it's one of those things, Susie, where I'm so grateful that my parents at a very early age introduced me to the Lord. I feel tender about this. You know, when I was 6 years old, I came to know the Lord. And boy, I fell in love with Jesus. And, you know, along the way, there was a lot of hurt. There was a lot of hurt from church folks. There was a lot of hurt from my very own family. My father made a lot of unwise decisions that we had to then, you know, pay the price of in the wake of those decisions. I won't skirt around that. But I loved the Lord. And I believed that even though humans made some bad decisions, that those decisions were not the same as my perfect Father in heaven. And that doesn't mean I never doubted God. It doesn't mean I never ran away from God. I did all of those things. But I came back because that early introduction to the Lord was so important. So I encourage anybody who, you know, is parenting children, who has grandkids, and you think, oh, I don't know if it's making a difference. I can tell you introducing your kids to the Lord early is powerful.
So good. What do you have to say to the person who's listening today, maybe has different reasons for not dreaming, but what they feel that is dreaming is costly. Like, as you said, maybe they're in a mode, and I would say living maybe beneath their spiritual privilege, living beneath the best of what God has for them, but they're just getting by. I would submit to you that there are lots of Christians walking the earth today who know they're saved, but they don't know they're loved. And so they're not dreaming. They're not dreaming with God, because that seems like a frivolity, a luxury that they can't afford. And it seems too scary to dare to lean in and go, might God want to do something in and through me that fits who I am? What advice, having been someone who could have easily opted out and tapped out, what advice do you have for them?
Oh, I have so many things to say about this, but I'll just say a few things. First of all, I need you to know that dreaming is not selfish. Dreaming is not wrong. I think that is a myth, Susie, that we need to just briefly touch on, because I think there's a lot of believers that think that dreaming is indulgent. It's self-indulgent in some way. And I will propose that your dreams need to be anchored to something and someone. And, you know, if you study the Bible, you know that dreams that are recorded in the Bible, and there were multiple dreams that are recorded in the Bible, that they are about a kingdom purpose. And so I would encourage you, as you read that chapter, to really dive into the fact that your dreams that are anchored in your greatest purpose in life will be so, so beautifully anchored to Christ. And so there'll be this wonderful sort of combination of things that you want to do in life and things that God has for you and using of your gifts. And it'll really all come together to give you this great purpose to wake up every day. I mean, there's a lot of people that need to revisit that, or maybe for the first time visit it, Susie, because maybe they've never really had that reason to wake up in the day. And so dreams are a part of that. And so I just think that that's so crucial. And I think there's a lot of people that think they've got to pick between real life and, you know, working and doing all our due diligence as we live through this life and dreams. They think they got to pick between the two. And I just want to say that you don't have to pick between those two. You know, I live in the real world too. I've got to get up every morning and go to a job and do things to support my family. But I also believe heavily in the fact that you have to have dreams for your life that give you vision and hope and sort of this heart and projection and all of these things. And so I think there's a great both and to that. And so I think those things are two very important things that we need to really dive a little bit deeper into. Yeah.
Lisa, got to go. Great, great show today. Thanks for the time. And friends, thanks for tuning in. We love you. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of your support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player and never miss a show again.